Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August the 28th. Well, we just heard in state news the reactions of Wisconsin's senators Herb Kohl and Russ Feingold to the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez by saying it's time to get politics out of the Justice Department. Kohl and Feingold are on the Senate Judiciary Committee and will play a role in the confirmation of the next Attorney General. We will talk about Gonzalez's resignation and who might replace him this hour and welcome your reactions to this news. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Here's Alberto Gonzalez yesterday morning announcing his resignation effective September 17th.
I often remind our fellow citizens that we live in the greatest country in the world and that I have lived the American dream. Even my worst days as Attorney General have been better than my father's best days. Public service is honorable and noble. And I am profoundly grateful to President Bush for his friendship and for the many opportunities he has given me to serve the American people. Thank you and God bless America.
Why are you leaving?
Why are you leaving?
Why don't you deny your resignation on Sunday to the New York Times?
Well, as you heard there, Gonzalez made a quick exit after his announcement and did not really answer the question, why are you leaving now? But we'll ask our guest and you too. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Katie Haringer, professor of political science at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Her research has been in the tensions of law and politics and the use of independent counsel and special prosecutors. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So why did Alberto Gonzalez resign?
Well, I think the pressure on him to resign has been going for a good almost all year. And I think finally the kind of relentless pressure and the timing seemed right, and I think the inevitable happened.
Yeah, I mean, it really had been, though, everybody, including Republicans, saying he should resign, but
right,
the president standing steadfastly behind him and Gonzalez saying he had no intention of resigning. So what finally was the last straw?
Well, you know, I do think the MO in the Bush administration is to resist those kinds of pressures and to try to do it on their own time. But I think, as I said, the sort of inevitability and the relentlessness of ongoing investigations seem like it would have to happen eventually. And I just think they tried to do it on their own timetable, but it was going to happen.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if this was this President Bush telling him to resign, or was it Alberto Gonzalez resigning on his own?
Are you saying?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I guess I think that it probably, I wouldn't be surprised if it were a mutual understanding that it was time to go.
Yeah. President Bush, yesterday after Gonzalez made his announcement, said that he decided, Alberto Gonzalez decided to resign after months of unfair treatment. How unfair was the treatment Alberto Gonzalez received?
You know, I would argue that it was not unfair given the concerns. I mean, there were concerns about him and about how close he was to the White House really from the time he came on as Attorney General. And with sort of one problem after another, the, of course, firing of U.S. attorneys first and the handling of that. I mean, a lot of people who are sort of in that field say it's correct that the president, you know, that these people serve at the president's will. The problem was how it was handled. Which suggested sort of very poor management of a significant political issue. But also, I think when the story came out about him, when he was White House counsel, going to the hospital bed of John Ashcroft and pressuring him, all of those things created this kind of real problem of credibility that's very important for an attorney general, for people to have some confidence that he can do the job and do it with some level of independence. And so his credibility had been so undermined by his actions that I think, I mean, I can understand why the president wanted to paint it this way, but I don't find it from the outside as a particularly plausible explanation.
We are talking with Katie Haringer, professor of political science at Wake Forest University, and we welcome your questions for her and your reactions to the announcement yesterday that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez will resign effective September 17th. We wonder if you agree with President Bush or not that Alberto Gonzalez was treated unfairly and that his good name was dragged through the mud for political reasons. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. John Munson in for Ben Marins this afternoon for At Issue. And after 5 o'clock, John will talk with the author of Wasteland, as in waste as in our bellies, talking about how we are not designed for the food court, so we have to learn how to reprogram. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking this hour about the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and examining his legacy at the Justice Department and the possible replacement, and welcoming your questions for our guest, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is a professor of political science at Wake Forest University, and I know I'm mispronouncing your last name, Katie, and I apologize. I can't seem to get it right. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Haringer.
Haringer. All right. I'm very sorry.
That's all right.
So who's going to replace, who's going to replace Alberto Gonzalez?
Well, I don't think that's real easy to predict. The person most frequently mentioned is Michael Chertoff, of course, who's the head of the Homeland Security Office. But I don't think that's a sure thing. I think, you know, when he left the Justice Department, I think he was highly regarded and probably would have been thought of as definitely a great choice. But the handling of the Katrina disaster has sort of undermined his legitimacy, I think, in ways that might make it difficult.
Yeah. And there are some who are speculating, at least some bloggers who are speculating, that the interim replacement, this Clement, who happens to be a Wisconsin native, might just stay there. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's a possibility. I mean, unlike Chertoff, he doesn't have that baggage. And usually people who are in the Solicitor General's position are seen as people who have a real high level of respect within the legal community. He has actually gained a lot of positive reviews as someone who is willing to defend pieces of legislation that aren't necessarily going to be popular with the conservative base. And so there's a sense that he has some level of independence. And I think all of those things will be important for someone who's going to get confirmed.
Mm-hmm. To the phones we go, and we do have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, with your questions and reactions to the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Rick in Mequon is next, or first. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know, the whole thing with Gonzalez to me, and your guest hit on it, is credibility. In the beginning, his very first scandal or issue, let's put it that way, with the appointments, he could have just said, yes, it was a political thing, and be done with it. But he had to, you know, try and spin it, and it ended up he was lying to Congress. And you can't just lie, you know. I don't care who you are, but when you start lying, you're going down a path where you're just going to get deeper and deeper. So had he just been straight and said, politics, yes, move on to the next question, it would have been so much easier. But when he started lying, and he can call it whatever he wants, but a lie is a lie, and that's where he screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh. What do you think?
I think Rick's right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think his performance before the committees, when they called him in there, was just really abysmal. And I think even his supporters would agree to that. And that, you know, not only was his credibility undermined with Congress at that point, but with anybody that watched it and with anybody that watched the clips afterwards or even listened to them on the radio. I mean, you can't have the Attorney General being that unforthcoming about things. And, you know, as Rick said, as it went on, it got worse. I mean, once you've dug that hole, it never gets better. And so I think the credibility issue is the key, and I think that's why in the end he had so little support even on the Republican side.
Yeah. Matt in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd just like to expand actually a little bit on what Rick said, where it seems as though the whole administration is unwilling to address or even admit that there are these actions in the public sphere that lead people to criticize them. Their immediate reaction to criticism is that it's partisan politics, and I'm not one of these rabid mouth foamers who are going to lay every sin of the Western world at Bush's door, but it seems as though if you are going to simply stonewall the American public at every angle, what are people's reaction going to be? Suspicion. So I think they brought it upon themselves.
I think that's right, and I do think you can place it in the larger context of the fact that the Bush administration generally has some credibility issues with the public at this point. And so it's almost kind of a snowballing effect where people become more and more doubtful of whatever they're hearing.
Yeah. Do you think the Bush administration thought that Gonzalez's resignation would perhaps stop the investigation into the firings of those U.S. attorneys?
Yeah, I think they probably hope that that's the case, and that if it doesn't, it may make it easier for them to make the argument that Congress is wasting its time and not focusing on important things. You know, in other words, it may give a little more credence to that argument. So I think they hope that there will be a diminishment of that. The other thing, of course, is that these executive privilege battles are very important to White Houses generally, and I don't think there was a lot of confidence that he could handle that well.
Yeah. We did hear in NPR News that Congress is not backing off
right.
The U.S. attorney investigations. Now, do you think the public will think that this is just a waste of time and move on?
I think it's possible. I mean, I think it depends on how the Bush administration paints it and how the Democrats behave. But, you know, there is a fairly short attention span in politics. And, you know, I think it's possible that people might start to say, well, you know, maybe we should be dealing with immigration or health care or the war or some of the things that seem bigger.
Mm-hmm. Dave in Menominee is with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thank you. Well, I think this is, you know, the Republican Party rejuvenating itself, basically tossing Rove and Gonzalez over. Rove is going to be working on, you know, dismantling electoral votes in certain states. He's going to be doing a bunch of things. Gonzalez, I think they waited till just this time so that when the hearings come up, they can paint the Democrats, you know, in a dark light for all these just, you know, these obnoxious hearings that they'll have and try to use that for their advantage for the election of 2008. I think this was planned out. It was waited. I do not believe at all that there was all of a sudden a family meeting at the Gonzalez and he decided he would leave and there was a meeting with Bush. I don't believe that at all.
Mm-hmm. Professor Herringer?
Well, you know, I think that there's probably some truth to that. this time of year is sort of historically a time when you're trying to clean house or move on to something else or make an announcement that you don't want to get too much attention paid to. The end of August, you know, coming up on Labor Day is the time you do it. So there is a sort of historical pattern of using this time for these kinds of changes politically. I think the caller is right, and I think I mentioned this earlier, that I do think the Republicans see their one sort of positive chance in 2008 is, if they can't keep the White House, of maybe getting Congress back, is the fact that if you look at public opinion polls, Congress is actually less popular than the president. And there's this sort of general sense that they're not getting much done and they're just partisan and they're fighting, and it's in the interest of the Republicans to push that, you know, that this is a do-nothing Congress. And so I do think the Democrats will have to be careful about how they, whether they continue to go after Rove and Gonzalez, for example, when they're not there anymore.
Yeah. What is, I don't know, what is the legacy that Alberto Gonzalez has left with the Justice Department?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's not a favorable one. I guess I would want to say, partially on his behalf, I guess, is that as a matter of history, he's not the first attorney general to be seen as way too political and way too much sort of the, you know, in the president's pocket. So this has happened to us in the past, and we tend to go through sort of these swinging back and forth between attorney generals that are seen as way too political and then attorneys general that are often following in their footsteps somebody who's seen as sort of above politics or beyond politics. You know, Watergate, of course, is the classic example of where the Justice Department was seen as becoming way too political and using law enforcement authority that way. But I think he will, you know, like John Mitchell, be seen as someone who was in the very political camp of attorneys general and therefore not seen as a great attorney general. I think the role that he played really first at the White House as White House counsel, which is part of what made him controversial when he went to the Justice Department, the role he played in providing a legal justification for some of the more controversial aspects of the war on terror will be part of his legacy. Certainly this mess with the U.S. attorneys will be part of his legacy. And so I think it will be largely a negative one.
Yeah. We heard one of our U.S. senators, Russ Feingold, in his reaction to this resignation, saying that the next attorney general has to be able to say no to the president. And that was one of Gonzalez's downfalls, is that he just always said yes, no matter what, the rule of law. Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's unrealistic to think that you'll find very many people who any president would put in as attorney general who didn't have some loyalty to the president. I mean, that's the reality of that position, is that while it's a law enforcement position and we expect it to be sort of above politics, you know, it is an appointment by the president, and he's going to appoint someone who shares at least his policy views. But on certain matters of enforcement and the fairness of enforcement, you do need an attorney general who's willing to say no. You know, so on the one hand, you want someone who shares the policy positions, but on the other hand, you do need someone who says, no, we're not going to use the election laws to go after our enemies, but not our friends,
yeah.
For example.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it will be, if the Bush administration wants to avoid a long, drawn-out confirmation battle, it is going to need to pick somebody who has certainly the confidence of the Republicans, and at least willingness to accept them on the part of the Democrats.
We're going to have to hold it here because we have a news break from National Public Radio coming up, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network.
It is just decimating, Mr. Attorney General, as to both your judgment and your credibility.
I've had the opportunity to review the classified matters at issue here, and I believe that your testimony was misleading at best.
You just constantly change the story, seemingly to fit your needs to wiggle out of being caught, frankly, telling mistruths.
The reactions of senators to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez while testifying or during his testimony in the investigation into the firings of U.S. attorneys in the recent past. Yesterday, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez announced his resignation. We heard President Bush say Alberto Gonzalez decided to resign after months of unfair treatment, and that the Attorney General's good name was dragged through the mud for political reasons. We're looking at the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez and wondering
why it happened now and what were the reasons behind it, whether or not he was treated unfairly or not. We welcome your questions and reactions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. We wonder what you think about this and whether you think any lessons have been learned by the reign of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, whether you want to see the investigation into the firings of the U.S. attorneys continue, even though Gonzalez has resigned. Or do you think Congress should set its sights on more important issues? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Katie Herringer. She is professor of political science at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And our next caller is Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just got up and saw we had a total eclipse here in Wisconsin. I suppose they had it all around the country, too. It was just fascinating at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I didn't know that, Tom.
Anyway, this Mr. Gonzalez resigning is absolutely correct, and it just goes to show you when the independents and the Democrats and the Republicans get together and see that something has to be done, they really do it, because there was no question he took this office. We have right here, I don't know whether your guest host there knows about it. Here in Wisconsin, we had Georgia Thompson, I believe it's Georgia or Georgine Thompson, was in the travel agency scandal here where she was put into jail for 4 months, and she was completely innocent. And our U.S. attorney here, Mr. Biskupic, railroaded this poor woman right into jail. It's absolutely unconscionable. At the meantime, while we're in Burlington here, according to the Standard Press, our county executive was fudging on his travel voucher.
We don't want to get into the scandals or whatever. But in any case, Tom, you this is an example, Professor Herringer, of how the U.S. attorney scandal might have touched Wisconsin. Are you familiar with this at all?
Not that particular case, but I have read about several, and I do think that's the problem with that whole scandal. I mean, the long-term cost of it, besides Gonzalez's job, is that now U.S. attorneys, of course, have this image problem to get over, which is that they, you know, are they pursuing cases because they're getting political pressure to do it, or are they doing it because it's the right thing to do?
Yeah, there was there has been absolutely no, you know, specific evidence to show this is the case, but
certainly anybody who has been prosecuted in the last couple of years for a political crime, you know, can at least look at that and raise that possibility, and that's the long-term cost, regardless of whether it was a legitimate prosecution or not.
Right.
It calls it into question.
Tell us why it is different than when President Clinton replaced all 93 attorney or federal prosecutors, U.S. attorneys, why that is different than what happened with the firings of these eight or nine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, well, it's the norm and has been for a very long period of time that when a new president comes in, and particularly a president of a new party, that they put their own appointments into those positions. As I said, I think a little earlier in the hour, I mean, it is true that the U.S. attorney's position is, you know, does serve at the will of the president. It is a political appointment in that sense. And so it's always been the case that new presidents, especially of new parties, use those appointments to put their own people in there. Once that happens, however, the tradition is that, with the exception of sort of broad policy directives, like we want to make sure, you know, we want to up the war on drugs, for example, or we want to go after, you know, all cases of mail fraud, or sort of broad policy statements from the White House, that the White House and the Department of Justice keep their hands off the investigation. What was unusual in this case in the Bush administration was really two things. One, changing when it was the same president making this kind of change, and then apparently doing it, or at least, you know, enough evidence suggests to raise the question, apparently doing it because people were not pursuing prosecutions that were being directed from above. So I think it's the combination of those two things that make it unique.
Mm-hmm. And even if there weren't any, whatever, laws broken by firing these U.S. attorneys, the Attorney General really didn't handle this correctly, according to most?
Well, yeah, because instead of just saying, look, you know, these people serve at the will of the president wants somebody else in there, they tried to suggest that, you know, these people were in some way were not performing well. And the problem they had there was, of course, they had these earlier performance reviews that were all very positive. So it sort of immediately undermined their argument and then made it look like there was something else. And then, of course, you had these, you know, in more than one case, U.S. attorneys saying that they had been pressured to pursue particular election fraud cases. And so then a pattern did seem to emerge that was an alternative explanation that was much more political.
Yeah. And some were saying it looked like Gonzalez was taking his marching orders from Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we never resolve that issue clearly. But I don't think there's any question that in this administration, a lot of directives were coming out of that office.
Yeah. Gonzalez also faced a lot of criticism over the visit that he made to the hospital room of Attorney General John Ashcroft. Mm-hmm. at the time when the administration was seeking this warrantless wiretapping program. Here's a clip that we have of Gonzalez, I think, defending himself in front of Congress.
The disagreement that occurred and the reason for the visit to the hospital center was about other intelligence activities. It was not about the terrorist surveillance program that the president announced to the American people. Now, I would like
Attorney
the opportunity...
General, do you expect us to believe that?
They didn't believe that, did they?
No, and, you know, just that very exchange is a perfect representation of the problem Gonzalez had.
Yeah, how
you know,
so?
Why I think he just could not endure over time in that position, because, you know, the fact that a senator would just say that as bluntly as he said it, and the implausibility of what he said. You know, it had already been, as my understanding of the mm-hmm. timetable is, it had already been testified that the FBI director had notes that said that's precisely what the discussion was about. So, you know, that's one of the places where Congress, I think, has a legitimate claim that they were lied to by the Attorney General outright. But I think that whole incident was very, very damaging to Gonzalez. First, because the wiretapping program itself was sort of a questionable legal justification, but his office came up with one. But this sort of notion of going to the bedside of someone who's terribly ill and, you know, the FBI director and the acting Attorney General standing sort of on the other side against him is so dramatic and it's so problematic that I think it was, you know, if the U.S. attorney scandal was not enough, this probably was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. We are talking with Katie Herringer. She is professor of political science at Wake Forest University, talking about the resignation yesterday, or the announcement of the resignation yesterday, of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Well, what is your reaction to what has happened? Why do you think he resigned? Who do you think should replace him? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you think this whole, the criticism of Gonzalez was much ado about nothing? Do you think he was treated unfairly, as President Bush indicated yesterday? We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio on this Tuesday morning, August the 28th. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 In the debate over immigration policy, my guest says racism and xenophobia are playing a role. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. We are talking about the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez with our guest, Professor of Political Science at Wake Forest University, Katie Herringer, and with you, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you think this is a big deal or not? Do you have any questions surrounding this issue or not? Our lines are pretty much open, so I'm surprised. A lot of you had something to say about Alberto Gonzalez while he was testifying before Congress, and maybe now you don't care. We do have an email from Joe in Fox Point who says, wants to know, Professor, if Mr. Gonzalez can be prosecuted for perjury that Joe says he committed during his testimony to Congress.
Well, that, I think there's probably some people on the Senate Judiciary Committee that are looking into that question. I think particularly around that statement involving the visit to the hospital and what the subject matter was, partly because the FBI director has handwritten notes of the time that say otherwise. but, you know, I would be surprised, actually, if that were pursued. It would be a lot of effort for what's probably a fairly small thing, and I think what most people wanted was him gone, and that has happened.
Mm-hmm. Jane in Milwaukee joins us now. Hi, Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, I was curious. Your guest mentioned just two main reasons why the firings that Clinton did were different than the firings that were just done. And I always thought that the biggest brouhaha really was because of the Patriot Act and the ability of the president to keep some of those people that were appointed without review at his whim. And I thought that was a huge reason. Is that no longer a reason?
I'm a little confused, Professor.
Well, there was a provision, and most people, apparently lots of people, did not realize it was even in there because, you know, the Patriot Act was this huge piece of legislation, and a number of things were slipped in there that people missed. And one of them, I think, is what Jane is referring to, was a provision that allowed the president to remove U.S. attorneys and put other ones in without getting them reviewed by Congress if there was a sort of, you know, necessity, security necessity for doing it. It was sort of justified by the need to be able to act without congressional action. And so early on, at least in the controversy, there was speculation that that's what was going on, that they wanted to put people in there that they wouldn't probably have been able to get confirmed. That sort of fell by the wayside later in the argument as more information came out. So there may have been something to that, the desire to test out that provision. But, of course, what it did was bring attention to the provision, and then Congress got rid of it. So it was if that were a major factor, it didn't last.
Yeah. But for the most part, Congress didn't like, or Democrats certainly didn't like, that the attorneys who were fired were supposedly, or at least allegedly, fired because they weren't going after Democrats as strongly as they should, or they were ignoring prosecutions that might have hurt the Republican Party. Is that what happened?
Right. Well, that they were pursuing, in some cases, pursuing ones that were seen as hurting the Republican Party and not prosecuting ones that they thought would help. So I think in New Mexico and Arizona, for example, that was the case. In one of the firings in California, it was the opposite, that the person had been too eager to prosecute Republicans.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to prove that completely, but there certainly appears to be a pattern that supports that, and the more information that came out.
Yeah. So what is it that you expect to see now? Do you expect to see the Bush administration announcing a potential replacement for Alberto Gonzalez in the very near future?
Yeah. You know, I say this only half flippantly. And that is that you never know with this administration whether they're going to take what the conventional wisdom would suggest is the proper approach, which would be to find someone who had a high level of confidence, you know, that both Republicans and Democrats had a high level of confidence in, and put them in there and try to start anew, or whether it would be more of a kind of in-your-face appointment and let's have the battle. You know, they've followed both patterns in appointments, and so I don't think it's completely predictable. I think the conventional wisdom would say that they'll try to find somebody like a Paul Clement, get them in there, and try to get this behind them. And that person's going to have a tough job rebuilding not just the sort of outside confidence in the department, but the morale in the department is very low at this point, particularly among the career officials. And so there's a lot of work to be done. So that would be one approach. The other approach would be to say we see some advantage in continuing to battle Congress, and we're going to put somebody in there who's going to do it. So I think they'll have a way harder time getting that person confirmed.
Yeah. Well, besides the speculation that maybe this Paul Clement would just stay there, the other name that I've seen the most is Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff. Is he a leading contender for Gonzalez's replacement?
Well, I think he is, or the name wouldn't be, but it may be. They may be testing out the reaction to that name. I heard somebody say yesterday, you know, if they want 3 weeks of hearings about what went wrong in Katrina,
yeah,
you know, they could appoint him. But that's inevitably going to come up, and his sort of ability to manage things has been called into question as a result of that. And so, you know, that's one of those cost-benefit things. I think within the Justice Department he has a good reputation. Within the legal community, at least he had one, you know, prior to this appointment. But this appointment has tarnished it to some extent, and I think, you know, it would be more problematic than a Clement appointment.
Yeah. Well, remind me if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but usually when a top administration official leaves, hasn't the president generally been ready, you know, like moments later to announce, here's my announcement of the replacement? This seems like that they weren't quite ready for this particular announcement yesterday.
Well, except that there may just be a desire to let there be a cooling off period, recognizing that that the confirmation battle will be tough for whoever it is, I think. But some people will handle it and weather it better than others. Because they won't be the lightning rods, you know, that some people could be. And so there's probably some, you know, people have confidence in Clement. I think generally the Judiciary Committee does on both sides of the aisle. And there may be something to be said for letting things cool down and testing out some possible names. The other thing is it might be very hard to find somebody willing to do it. You know, it's just a year. Or a little more than a year left, you're gonna go into a situation where the main committees that you have to deal with are extremely hostile to you, and with something where you have something to prove to them, and where you have really serious problems within the department.
Yeah. Tom, and is it Sobieski?
Sobieski.
Yes. Go ahead.
Good morning. I got a quick question. Getting back to those federal judges that were fired by
the attorneys.
The attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, could they be reinstated, being that this was done underneath false pretenses?
Yeah. Well, the appointment is at the will of the president, and so the president would have to decide to do it. You know, no one can make him do it. Or some, you know, the next president may decide they deserve it. But, you know, I think it's unlikely. I think that they're probably done with that, because Bush would have to be the one to do it.
Yeah. Well, in our final moments here, any closing remarks? Any final thoughts on I don't know, lessons learned from Alberto Gonzalez?
Yeah. Well, it's a lesson that we have to keep learning
mm-hmm.
over and over again. When you look at this sort of question historically about the tension between law and politics in the Department of Justice, it's an age-old one. I think the lesson is that the Senate really ought to be very cautious about confirming someone who is seen as the president's man in a really kind of close personal way, because when that has happened historically, it has tended to create problems, both because the attorney general ends up doing things more in the interests of the president's political interests than the law. And also because he has a much harder time persuading people on the outside that he's not doing that, even when he's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort of start out with a mark against you and a level of distrust when you're that close to the president. And so the lesson for future presidents is that the attorney general position matters a lot in terms of getting someone who has credibility and some level of independence.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, my pleasure.
Yeah. Katie Herringer is professor of political science at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour, and thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. And I hope if you would like to listen to this or any of our talk shows, again, you can go to our website. You can listen to them through your computer, wpr.org. Stored on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.